Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and US President Donald Trump have met at the White House for the first time since they launched a joint war against Iran. The closed-door meeting lasted almost an hour and a half, with White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt describing it as, quote, positive and productive. While the countries remain firm allies, relations have become strained over the direction of the Middle East conflict and Israel's bombardment in southern Lebanon. Laizer Berman is the diplomatic reporter at the Times of Israel. He joined me earlier. Laizer, what do we know about how this meeting went?
So we know the immediate reactions from both sides, both the Israeli and the U.S., and they are both are saying that it was very positive. Prime Minister Netanyahu put out a video before he went to the memorial service for Senator Graham that said this was one of the best conversations he has ever had with President Trump. The head of Israel's public diplomacy effort said that she shared an anecdote that Netanyahu told Trump that they're talking about Lindsey Graham, and Netanyahu said that he was Israel's number one friend, and Trump said, actually, I'm the number one friend. He was the number two friend. So they're trying to show that they're on the same side. Well, of course, on the same side, but they are aligned, that they share the goal of stopping Iran from reaching a nuclear weapon. But we all know that the way to do so is where the argument is. Of course, Trump has a lot of pressures at home that Netanyahu doesn't have, because there's a midterm election and the U.S. economy is absolutely a factor there. Netanyahu has other concerns. He also has an election, but he needs to show that he knows how to finish some of these wars, especially after being in office during October 7th. And he has not finished the war in Gaza, the war in Lebanon, or the war in Iran. So the way to get there to that shared goal is where there is still, some room for argument or disagreement.
Indeed. Laizer, what do we know about the differing views from the U.S. and Israeli leaders on how to get there?
So we know that the Israelis generally favor a more aggressive approach, that they think that there is work that still needs to be done in terms of degrading Iran's nuclear program, in terms of striking some of the sites that have been reconstructed somewhat since the February-March fighting. But in terms of the timeline, we don't know what they talked about yet. You know, those are obviously the type of things that they're not quick to leak out to the media. But there is certainly a feeling that Trump is considering a more significant military strike, that that's not off the table. But it seems like the Israelis are being very, very intentional about trying to show that there is not a disagreement and that they are not trying to push Trump in any direction. A senior Israeli official told me that. She said very, very explicitly that we don't tell Trump what to do. We present our interests. We try to explain our position, but no one tells Trump what to do.
What's the public view in Israel right now about what should happen, particularly regarding Iran and also Lebanon?
Sure. So two separate issues. Let's start with Iran. On Iran, I think the general feeling, you hear this from the opposition and the people that are running to replace Netanyahu in October, is that the work against Iran is not done. This is not a regime that you can find agreements with. They're never going to actually give up their desire to destroy Israel or to achieve a nuclear weapon. And therefore, at some point, there is going to have to be more military action if the regime doesn't fall, and that if the regime falls, that will be wonderful for the Arab countries in the Middle East and also for Israel. So that's pretty widespread. In Lebanon, there is also pretty much agreement that it's a good thing to continue this negotiation process with the Lebanese. There's not a lot of trust in the capabilities of the Lebanese army, so there is not a willingness, not from Netanyahu, not from the public, to pull out entirely from southern Lebanon. But I think there's a lot of room, especially politically, to do some of these pilot zones, some very limited withdrawals. And we'll see what the Lebanese army can do in terms of making sure that Hezbollah isn't returning.
Laizer, you normally travel with the Israeli Prime Minister on his international trips, but this time he left journalists off the plane. Why is that?
Well, I think primarily because he doesn't really like talking to the press that isn't seen as on his side. So this is the third time in the past year that he has not let people on, has not let journalists on to his plane. Of course, it's a taxpayer-funded plane. It's not his private plane. It has a whole journalist section, and he gave no explanation for it. I will say on this trip, some of the arrangements were different because he didn't leave from Ben-Gurion Airport. He left from an Air Force base in the south, in the Negev Desert. And what officials say to me is that has to do with security concerns about drones and the like trying to target perhaps the prime minister. That could be, but that could also be an excuse because, again, he is not someone who eagerly runs to the Israeli press if they're not seen as on his side.
What are the chances of Benjamin Netanyahu being successful in the election that he faces in a few months' time?
That's a great question. Polls are showing that even if his Likud party is the largest party, and that's no guarantee, that his current coalition is not going to get to the requisite 61 seats. They're hovering around 49 or 50 seats. Now, that doesn't mean that the opposition parties led by Bennett, led by Gadi Eisenkot, they look like they're going to get around 57, 58 and not be able to reach the 61 seat limit. They would have to ally with one of the Arab parties. And that is something that many of them say that they will not do. But I would say don't ever count Netanyahu out. He's a very, very talented political operator. He knows how to play the Israeli coalition political system and eke out every mandate that he needs. So even though he is facing some serious, serious headwinds, he's not someone that you can ever count out.
Liza Berman, thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Thank you.